so thrilled to be here, excited about what God's doing here in this place. Amen. There's no place like this place, so this must be the place. Amen.
Amen.
And we're thrilled to be here, Anne Marie and I and Beth. Came all the way from Nova Scotia to see this church. Amen.
Amen.
And we're just thrilled that we can get together and fellowship, and we're going to be praying that God would richly bless this work here. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. I like that, don't you? Has God ever surprised you?
Amen.
Oh, don't you love His surprises? Don't you love it when God does something that you could say, there's no other way it could have been done except by God's doing? One of the interesting things that happened, and I'm sure you've heard the story, the brother and sister Antonis contacted me and told me we need to get someone to take this church that they had begun to start, and not being able to physically do it all, the Lord just intervened, and Brother Mansfield saw my post on the internet, and ultimately God put this all together. And then to have this beautiful building, it's just amazing how God works. And you know, I want all of you to remember something. When you record your answers to prayer, you really have a hard time getting discouraged.
Yes.
Some people get discouraged very easily. They just get their eyes on the circumstances and the problems that come into their life. But we're not to live that way. We're to live above our circumstances. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? And I've never been disappointed when I kept my eyes on the Lord Jesus. Now, I didn't see Him with my eyes, but I know He's there. It's called the eye of faith. Amen? I, by faith, trust the Lord. You say, well, you've never seen Him. Well, I've never seen the wind either, but I believe it's there. Amen? And I know God's got great things in store. Let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to draw your attention to verse 27. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are what?
Shaken.
As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be what?
Shaken
may remain. I want to speak on things that cannot be shaken. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, oh God, I pray tonight that You would just speak to us in a special way. May we be encouraged and strengthened in Your power and in Your might. Lord, You have never disappointed us. Oh, we disappoint ourselves. But You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You truly want us to trust You in all things. Bless our time together this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Things that are never shaken. Wow, what would they be? I know that we live in a day when there are a lot of things that are being shaken. The first thing that we see shaken in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 11, was the Tower of Babel. How many remember the story of the Tower of Babel? These people all decided they wanted to build a tower that would go right up into heaven. Well, that wasn't God's plan. And so He confounded their languages, so they couldn't work together. That's where all the different languages of the world came from. And guess what happened? The Tower of Babel was shaken. And ultimately, people just dispersed, and that idea fell apart. It was shaken. I think of Solomon's temple. Oh my, it was a beautiful temple. It had gold and precious metal. It was beautiful. It was for the glory of God. It was a place where they met to make their offerings and their sacrifices to God. But you know what happened? The enemies came in and they destroyed the temple. That temple was shaken, wasn't it? You know, it's interesting, when Solomon was giving the dedication to the temple, the Lord told him, as long as you do what I tell you to do, this temple will last forever. But if you ever change and do what you want to do instead of what I want you to do, this temple will come to naught. Basically, that's what he was saying. You see, that's why that scripture I mentioned this morning, and we'll get to it in a little bit, about the church. But that temple was shaken and it was utterly destroyed. And then later, they rebuilt it. Do you remember? Nehemiah came back, and with Ezra, they rebuilt the temple. It was beautiful to some, but you know what? The older people, they looked at it and they cried because it wasn't half what it had been before. The young people, they rejoiced. The temple's been rebuilt. But the older people realized what it used to be like in all of its glory, and their hearts had been broken, that sin had gotten in and hindered God's work and God's temple. Then you have empires. You remember the Babylonian Empire? It was shaken. The Medo-Persian Empire was shaken. The Grecian Empire was shaken. The Roman Empire was shaken. In fact, there's statements made about the rise and the fall of the Roman government. Many governments have been shaken and crumbled and been destroyed. Isn't that something? I've often wondered, I wonder if America is ever going to be so shaken. You know, with a $20 trillion deficit. Is our economy on the verge of collapse? Yes, it is. Could America be shaken? I believe it has been, and it will be, and ultimately will be. Our banks and institutions, back during the Depression, people lost all their money. That institution, that financial institution, was shaken. The economy, the Great Depression, it shook. The financial establishment, banks closed. They couldn't get their money. Starvation lines. People trying to make it and survive because something that they thought was sure was not sure. I want to tell you, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is shaking in our lives? What is falling apart? Marriages can be shaken, can't they? Homes can be shaken. And that's why we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. You've heard the phrase, a family that prays together, what? Stays together. And so true. That is, you know, there have been some people, I heard about of a couple that both had very lucrative jobs, and they bought this beautiful home. It was gorgeous. It took both of their salaries to pay for it. Well, the husband lost his job. They repossessed his car. They started to go into default on their house. Then she lost her job. And they came and they had foreclosed on their home. They had nothing but what was on their backs and in their car. That was it. Their life was shaken by circumstances. Oh, I want to tell you, there are some things that can really be shaken. Wouldn't you agree? Now, with that in mind, I want to give you five things that can't be shaken. Five things that you can get a guarantee from Almighty God that these things will never be shaken. Number one, God will never be shaken. Aren't you glad we have a God that can never be shaken? Take your Bibles and go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. It's just the next page if you're looking in your Bible right now. Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to go with me, if you would, to verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and how long?
Forever.
God can never be shaken. His past, His present, and His future. Our past, our present, our future can never be shaken. Why? Because we have a great God that gives us security. You know, we like security. A wife loves to have a house she can decorate and nest in. Just something about that. That's precious to her. I remember telling my wife the story about George Mueller and how George Mueller said to his wife one day, why don't we do this? We've got too much stuff. Why don't we just put everything for sale and whatever doesn't sell, we'll know the Lord wants us to keep. I've not been able to talk my wife into that one yet. Amen, ladies? Right. And no, her nest was not going to be shaken. Amen? Amen. God cannot be shaken. You know, when Lincoln was assassinated in D.C., the word spread to New York. And suddenly, out on this big balcony came a man with the waving of an American flag. Then there was the voice of General Garfield, who sounded these words, "Fellow citizens, there are clouds of darkness all about us, but God still reigns. Men fall by the wayside. Rulers go down to death." Speaking of Lincoln, no doubt. But God cannot be shaken. Isn't that wonderful that we can pillow our heads tonight and know that God has nothing to worry about? Isn't that something? You know, God hangs the world on nothing, doesn't He? He gives us, in this area, about three seasons. Well, one season I don't want to talk about, and that's summer, amen? But you know what? It's amazing how every spring, God sees that things grow, and He takes care of all of that. He controls the weather. He controls the animals, the beast of the field. He sees that the sparrows receive their food. God knows all about the sparrows and the animals. He knows about all of them. The cows and the chickens. He's familiar with all of them. He knows them. You know who He has the most problem with? Human beings. You know who they are? That's us. We give Him more trouble than all of His creation. His creation doesn't give Him the trouble that we give Him. And yet He still is unshaken in His love for us. Isn't that amazing how God would love us? He loves us unconditionally. That's a beautiful thing. The second thing I want you to notice that cannot be shaken is God's holy word. Do you have your Bible tonight? Take your Bible and wave it at me. Do you have a Bible? Oh, yeah. My dad, you know what my dad used to do? He used to do this. My dad would kiss his Bible. He said, "This is God speaking to me. Every time I open it up, God speaks to me." Isn't that amazing? God's Word, the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." It cannot be shaken. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the Bible says, "The grass withereth." We saw that, didn't we, just a few weeks ago. The grass began to turn brown. Now it's ugly out there in comparison to the beautiful spring. The flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand how long? Forever. If God said it, that settles it. It cannot be shaken. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. There have been many attacks on God's word. People have tried to burn God's word up. Can you imagine taking a fire and saying, all right, you got to throw your Bibles into the fire? Yes, that's the way we ought to feel about it. We ought to gasp. No, I'm not throwing my Bible in the fire. This is God's holy word. But you know, it's interesting when people would try to extinguish the word of God, try to burn up the word of God, try to tear up the word of God, try to throw the Bible away. It was printed again and again and again. And almost every time there was a judgment against God's word, it would multiply. We've always had God's word. Amen. And I'm glad I hold in my hand God's word. It's logical. It makes sense. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in Him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting
life. That's logical. You put your faith in Jesus, He takes care of your eternal destiny. He prepares a mansion in heaven for all of those that know Him as their Savior. He puts your name in the book of life. Recorded. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Oh, that's wonderful. You know, the Bible is so sweet and so precious to us. You'd think we want to read it every day, wouldn't you? You'd think we want to memorize it. I was so glad to see those children today quoting that verse of Scripture. That's wonderful. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against Thee. My father gave me my first Bible. You know what my father wrote in my Bible, my very first Bible? He wrote, this book, the Bible, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. What does that mean? That means if I want to sin and do wrong, I won't want to read this book. It'll keep me from reading this book. Sin takes people away from God. I can guarantee you, well, God guarantees you that if you quit reading God's word, you're going to stray from God. You're going to get away from God. But if you read His word every day you pick it up and read a couple verses, and that word will speak to your heart and it will help your actions to glorify God. The Bible is unshakable. The story was told about the anvil. What's an anvil? An anvil is something that blacksmiths use, and it's a piece of metal. And they take their hammers and they pound metal on it, and they will wear out hammers. And the anvil is like the Bible. Listen to what this says. I stood one day beside a blacksmith's door, and I heard the anvil ring, the vesper chimes. Then looked in, I saw upon the floor old hammers that were worn with beaten years of time. How many anvils have you had? I asked. To wear and batter all those hammers so. Just one, he said. Then said with twinkling eyes, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so methought the anvil of God's word for ages. Skeptics, blows have beat upon it. And though the noise of fallen hammer blows have been heard, the anvil is unharmed and all of the hammers, they're gone. The anvil stands the test of time, doesn't it? Aren't you glad you have the word of God? You can be sure that God's word will always be unshaken. Number three. What was the first thing that will never be shaken?
God
Himself. Number two?
His Word.
His Word. Number three? His Son. Who's God's Son?
Jesus,
that's right. Jesus can never be shaken. Let me explain that to you. Oh, there's so many things we could talk about when we talk about Jesus. His character was wonderful. It was, listen to this. How many know what this word is? His character was impeccable. You say, Brother Knickerbocker, what does impeccable mean? It means that Jesus was without sin. He was perfect. He never did anything wrong. Can you imagine, you have seven boys, right? Can you imagine if one of your boys never did anything wrong? Wouldn't that be unusual? Of course, girls, they're almost perfect, right? Almost. Almost. Yes, we as children, little children, we're God's children if you're saved. But you know what? It's interesting because God's character, Jesus' character, He never one time ever did anything wrong. Why don't you try that sometime? I'll bet you can't do it. One time I heard about a man, he was a drinker. He would drink beer and he'd fight people. And he was really rough and mean. He lived up in Maine. A real mean man. And he rented a room from a Christian lady. And he would see her when he'd come home, come to his room. He would see her reading her Bible. So one day he said, "Can I read your Bible?" And he liked to win fights. So he thought, she said, "Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the life of Jesus." So he started reading it, right? He goes, "I could be like Jesus." And all of a sudden he realized he could not be like Jesus. What did he need? He needed to be saved, didn't he? He needed Jesus to become his Savior. And you know what? When Jesus becomes your Savior, then you take on the character of Christ. It doesn't mean you're perfect. But boy, we could sin a lot less than we sin. Wouldn't you agree? His character was impeccable. Modernists, they tried to reduce Jesus to just being a man. They don't want him to be the Savior, the sinless Son of God. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Isn't that something? They could not find any fault in him. Judas said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Remember Judas, he betrayed the Lord Jesus, didn't he? The centurion, that Roman soldier, said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Wow. To have a man that had crucified Jesus to say, "Truly this is the Son of God," is quite a statement. Did you know that even devils and demons... One demon said one time in front of Jesus, "Thou Son of the Most High God." Think about it. Even demons know who Jesus is. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the what? The sins of the world." John the Beloved said, "He is the bright and the morning star." Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Guess what God the Father said about His Son, Jesus? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, Jesus, if Jesus is perfect, which I believe He is, if Jesus can't sin, which I believe He can't, the Bible teaches that He can't, don't you think He could help us with those problems? Don't you think He could guide us? The Bible says He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what? Sin. How many of you have ever get tempted to do something wrong? When you start thinking about wanting to do something wrong, think of Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for your sins. And you know what'll happen? You'll stop it. You won't sin. You won't go through with it. Oh, may we get Jesus focused in our lives. Listen, we are shakable, but Jesus is unshakable. If I were to always do what Jesus bid me do, I would never be shaken. So the possibility is there for me to be victorious. And the possibility is there for you. Some say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, we could be a lot more perfect than we are. Couldn't we? We could be more loving. We could be more kind. We could be more considerate. All of that is the character of Jesus Christ. May we ask the Lord Jesus to help us. Is Jesus unshakable? That's right, He is. His power is unshakable. His love is unshakable. Oh, there's so much that is stated about His love. Jesus, having loved His own, which were in the world, notice what it says there in John 13:1, He loved them unto the end. You know what? When Jesus was crucified on the cross, they took nails and put Him in His hands. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They beat Him up. They beat Him. They slapped Him. They mocked Him. They pulled His beard from His face. And what was the very first words of Jesus on the cross? Father, say it with me, forgive them. They know not what they do. See, even when you're mistreated, you can say, forgive those people that mistreat me. If your brother or sister doesn't treat you right, what should you do? Be mad at them and try to get back at them? No, forgive them. Amen. It's amazing how we can take on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and be forgiven. Hey, Jesus, you know, remember the prodigal son? He got away from his father, and he wasted his money, and he was eating corn husks from the pig pen, and he got thinking about it. My father's servants fare much better than I do. And he repented of his sin, and he came back. Isn't that amazing? The father is looking down the road one day, and he sees his son coming. What did he do? Get the gun out? No. Did he want to say, see, I told you you'd mess up your life? Is that what he did? No. Did he take off his belt and say, I'm going to spank you? Is that what he did? No. He went and he hugged him. He took his ring off his finger. And he put it on his son. He took his robe off and put the robe on his son. He killed the fatted calf and declared a party, a time of rejoicing. My son was lost, but now he's found. You know, when a person gets saved, that's what happens. A person that's lost is now found. Amen? And what a tremendous story that is about the love of a father. And I want to tell you, where did that father get that love from? He got it from God. God's the one that gives love. You remember the maniac of Gadara? He was possessed with a legion of demons. He cut himself with stones. He lived in the cemetery. He was crazy. But then he met Jesus, and Jesus cast the devils out of him. And the Bible says he was clothed, seated, and in his right mind. And guess what? He became a follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, if I'd been Jesus, I would have taken the former maniac of Gadara with me. And I would have let him get up and give a testimony before I preached. Amen. But you know what Jesus said to him? Go back to your friends. You see, he had friends, but he'd lost them because of sin. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. It's a horrible thing, sin, what it does to people's lives. It's terrible. But He's able to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And that maniac of Gadara, former maniac of Gadara, he went back to his friends and he told them about how the Lord had delivered him from his sin. You know what we need to see happen here in this church? You people going out and telling people what Jesus did for you. How He forgave you. How He saved you. Amen. Don't you think Christ would be pleased with that? Amen. Oh, listen, I was telling the pastor today, we were talking about the Lord's work and about how to reach a community for Christ. Really, you know what? If every Christian gave their testimony about how Jesus saved them, just everybody told everybody, everybody that's saved told everybody that's lost how to be saved, you'd see people being saved on a regular basis. Don't just commit yourself to a Saturday morning to talk about the Lord. Now, you do have a Saturday morning, right, to go out and visit. Oh, you ought to come and get in on that. And if you're afraid to do that, just let the preacher do all the talking. He can talk. Let him do the talking. And you just stand there and pray, Lord, help him. And you know what? You'll be able to see people come to know Jesus just like you came to know him. I took a few people with me when I was a pastor. And you know what I found out? The people that went with me visiting, they ended up wanting to do the talking. Yeah, they wanted to tell about how they got saved. Amen. And it's exciting when you share your faith with others. That's what Christ... What do you think Christ would be doing today if he lived on this earth? He'd be promoting salvation to a lost and a dying world. He came to seek and to what? Save that which is lost. Number four. I believe that God's church shall never be shaken. Take your Bibles and go with me to a very important passage, Matthew chapter 16. This is a very familiar passage. Many of you have heard it many times. But I want you to notice the power of this verse. Jesus made a statement in Matthew 16, 18. He said, upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my, what? Church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now you say, Brother Knickerbocker, I'm sorry to say that many churches have been shaken. Churches that preach the gospel just like Victory Baptist Church preaches the gospel have been shaken. Oh, let me tell you about some that have been shaken. Now Jesus said, my church will not be shaken. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So let me ask you a question. Is there a difference between Christ's church and our church? We have to ask ourselves that question. I want to tell you about a church called Highland Park Baptist Church. Chattanooga, Tennessee. They had over 4,000 Bible college students in their church. They had, some Sundays, they would have up to 10,000 people. On a big day, they would have 8,000 to 10,000 people show up. How many would say that's a pretty good sized church? It's gone. The buildings have all been sold. The college has disbanded. The church, they changed their name and went up to the camp and started a contemporary church. Their rock music, dancing, the whole nine yards. It's all gone. It's gone. Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. Gone. Gone. They ran up to 4,000 in attendance. Temple Baptist Church, Detroit, Michigan. Used to run 5, 6,000. Gone. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. I could tell you of many churches. Now, I'm telling you, those churches I just mentioned to you, in the 60s and 70s, they were the largest churches in America. Gone. What happened? If the church of Jesus Christ is unshakable, how come these churches are gone? Here's why they're gone. They stopped doing God's bidding. And they ceased to be what Christ told them to be. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. So the question is, what is his church? His church is a group of born-again baptized believers, members in particular, who have committed themselves to the Great Commission to reach a world and a community for Christ. Did you know that's our God-given responsibility? The Church of Jesus Christ cannot be shaken if it's done according to His Word. Now, sometimes churches grow and sometimes they what? They shrink. That's right. Sometimes you have a burst of energy where God blesses and people get saved and everybody's excited. And then there's times you hit plateaus where nothing's happening. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Oh, listen, if you want a church that's unshaken, it has to be a church that meets Christ's qualifications for His church. What are they? Love God. Be faithful. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And then He says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the greater our commitment should be to be in church. Amen? We need to make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day. Most churches today don't even have a Sunday night service. Many don't even have Sunday school. They don't have any Wednesday night service. Their music has changed. Their Bibles have changed. It's not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a counterfeit. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. The Bible says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. I want to say this, in the infancy of this church, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. Amen. God has given you an under shepherd, someone to encourage you, your pastor, to help you. And boy, listen, not only listen to him, but if he says something that you need to do as a believer, do it immediately. Don't put it off. Get involved. Get baptized. Join the church. Get involved. Serve the Lord. Is there anything I can do to further the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? These are so important for the church, especially in its infancy. As much as you need Him, He needs you. As much as you need Christ, He needs you to reach this community at large. Listen, could God write in the sky, right over the university over here, could He write in the sky how to be saved? How many believe He could do it? Without question. Nothing's too hard for our... But He doesn't do that. He wants to send you to go to those people and tell them about the Lord. Amen. We must be obedient. Just as a mother or a grandmother would seek to speak to her child or grandchild and give them a command and expect them to obey, God expects His children to obey. And the happiest people are the obedient people. Amen. The most miserable people are the people that are always disobedient to the Lord. Oh, may God help us with this. Because this is the life's blood of the local New Testament church is you being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Let God use you. The Bible makes it very clear that Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that put it all together. And you know what? If you created... I got to tell you a little story about something that happened. We were doing the Fort Worth School of the Bible. And Dr. Sexton was the one that put the notebooks together. They're beautifully done. All color, multicolor, beautiful. Four color printing. And just gorgeous. Well, I was doing the Fort Worth School of the Bible down here in Texas. And so I thought, well, I'll save a little money. So I'll just do them in black and white. You know, they don't have to be fancy, right? So Tim Tomlinson came down. He's one of the vice presidents at Crown College and works closely with Pastor Sexton. He said, why didn't you do these in color? I said, well, it was really cheaper to do them in black and white. And he goes, oh, okay. He said, well, whose notebooks are these? I said, well, they're Crown's. He said, no, they're not. I said, well, they belong to Temple Baptist Church. He said, no. And then I got it. He said they were created by Dr. Sexton. And if that's the way he created them, don't you think that you should keep creating them the same way? I thought, wow, that was a real message for me. You know what happens? A lot of times we try to take shortcuts in our Christian life, and we always come up short. It's like the fellow that built houses. He would go and build a house from scratch, beautiful. His boss came to him and said, or he went to his boss and he said, I'm going to retire. He said, as soon as I get this house finished, I'm retiring. He said, oh, can't you make me one more house? You know, those employers are always wanting a little more blood, right? He said, would you just build one more for me and then you retire? He said, well, you've been good to me. He said, I'll go ahead and build one more. So he's building the next house, you know, the last house he's going to build. Well, you know what he did? He decided to not put as many plugs in the walls and not as many switches. And he used cheaper material and cut some corners. And some of the nice amenities that should have been put in, he didn't put them in. And it looked nice. I mean, you couldn't tell it wasn't a beautiful home and everything. But the boss came by and the boss took out the keys. And he took off the key that to that house and he said, this one belongs to you. He gave him the house, the last house he built. He gave it to him. Do you think maybe he wished he hadn't cut corners? You see, a lot of Christians cut corners in their life. Well, I'm only going to be half committed. Well, I'm only going to go some of the time. Oh, I'm only going to give 5% of my income when God tells me to give 10%. You're robbing God. And you're robbing yourself of God's blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't give God cheap service. We need to give Him our best. Amen? How many of you want your children to give their best and become successful? Certainly you do. Well, they can't cut corners then. Right? Should we teach our kids to cheat so they can be rich? No. Should we teach our children to lie so that they can take advantage of somebody? No. You see what I'm saying? There's no shortcuts with God. If you're going to do God's work, you must do it God's way. And that way is perfect. His way is perfect. And then last, number 5. God's kingdom is unshakable. Oh, I am so glad about this. Hey, guess what? I'm not worried about what's going to happen in America. I'm not worried about it. Because my hope is not in man. My hope is in the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, we might suffer persecution in our country. That's possible. You go to some other countries and you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you'll be beheaded. You'll be thrown in prison. You'll be beaten. We have such liberty here, don't we? But the kingdom of God standeth sure. It cannot be shaken. Remember Pharaoh? His kingdom went down, didn't it? He went down with it, drowned in the Red Sea. David was overthrown. From his own throne, he was dethroned by his own son, Absalom. God took care of Absalom, didn't he? Herod got up, and Herod is a Roman, and he is an orator, and he's saying these beautiful words to the people. And the Roman people are looking at him, and they're going, this is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of a God. And the Bible says that Herod was eaten of worms. He fell down to the ground and the worms consumed him. Wow. Kingdoms are shaken, aren't they? Napoleon, when banished to St. Helena, Napoleon made this statement. He said, I built my kingdom by force and it failed. Isn't it interesting that Jesus built his kingdom by love? And it still stands. Where are you going when you die? I'm going to glory. I'm going to heaven. Because I've put my faith in Jesus. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that wonderful? We have a kingdom. How many of you know how much longer you're going to live? None of us know. Some of us could be in heaven before the day's over. You never know. You never know. I have a neighbor, Boston, Barry Boston and his wife. They lived across the street from us. Did you hear what I said? They lived. My wife called me and said, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. And I said, what? And she said, Barry just died. He was 62 years old. A couple years older than I was. 24 hours later, or 48 hours later, his wife died. That was strange. And every time I look over at that house, I said, wow, is life uncertain or what? Death is sure. It's important to be ready to meet the Lord, isn't it? How many of you know somebody that's older that you know is lost? They need to be saved. Wow. Let's go talk to them again. Let's go tell them that His kingdom is sure. It cannot be shaken. Hitler, he killed millions of Jews and many others. Jesus, He saves millions. Quite a bit of difference between Herod or Hitler and Jesus, wouldn't you say? Muhammad, they're taught in the Quran to kill anybody that doesn't believe the way they do. Isn't that sad? Guess what Jesus said? Love your what? Your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Is there a difference between the self-proclaimed messiahs of the world and Jesus Christ? A huge difference. And I want to say to you, His kingdom stands and is unshaken. How about America? How great is America? We've always said this is the land of opportunity. Experience the American dream. Let me tell you something. America is no greater than its love for God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We have our sins. We have our faults. We have our pride. We have our crimes. And I want to tell you something. America needs to turn back to God. Amen. I believe this election that we just experienced was the grace of God extended to us. And I want to tell you something. It's not about Trump or Hillary. It's about we the people. We must be right before God. And guess what? All believers nationwide have a responsibility to proclaim the truth of His kingdom, of His Son, of His church, of His Bible. Because those are the only things that are unshakable. Amen? Let's pray together, maybe. Our Heavenly Father, please seal these truths in our lives. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you would say, I really need to ask the Lord to help me to be a better Christian? Would you slip your hand up? Just be honest before the Lord. Amen. He saw your hand. You may put it down. How many of you would say, with God's help, I'm going to start being more committed to the cause of Christ. I'm going to be more committed to His Word. More committed to my church. More committed to the kingdom of God. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to share the gospel with others. Would you slip your hand up? Just put it up and then put it back down and then pray. Oh God, help me. If you're not saved, come and accept Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, start sharing your faith. Please, please, before next Sunday, share your faith with some people. Take some of those gospel flyers and tracts back there. There's Merry Christmas tracts back there. Take them and just give them out like crazy, like candy. People like candy, don't they? Give them out like candy. And say, come and worship with us. Jesus is the Savior of the world. As the pianist softly plays, let's stand together. If you'd like to come and pray, maybe you want to get involved and the Lord's speaking to your heart about getting out and talking to people about the Lord. Start doing it every day. When you get gas, when you go to the store, when you get groceries, whatever it is. But just make a commitment tonight and say, oh God, I'm gonna do more to reach people with the gospel. You come right now and we'll just let you have a time of prayer. Amen. That's wonderful as you gather around and pray. This is so important. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Man, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than a daddy praying with his children. How about you tonight? Would you just say, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Help me to do what I know God's Word teaches me to do. Don't fight against God. Get in on what God has for you. Don't be afraid. Fear is something that is not of God. Fear hinders the work of God in your life. Let's not be afraid. Let's go forward with a desire to be victorious. If you're not saved, please talk to the pastor and make sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. The kingdom of God is sure. It's unshakable. The Bible's unshakable. The church, if it's performed as Jesus wants it to be, is unshakable. God, do a mighty work, I pray, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, Pastor, you come.